All right, welcome in everyone to another deep dive here. Today we're going up and away, kind of, with a case about responsibility and recreation, specifically hot air ballooning.
Sounds fun.
It is, well, at least in theory. This is Grothier v. Escape Adventures, a 2017 case out of California. And as always, there's more to this than meets the eye. I mean, think about it. Are hot air balloon companies like bus lines in the eyes of the law? If you sign up for an adventure and something goes wrong, who takes the blame? Does that waiver you sign actually cover everything?
Those are the exact kind of questions that make this case and cases like it so important. We'll be digging into those questions today. So just to lay it out, today we'll be taking a look at how the court decided a hot air balloon operator is different from a common carrier, what that means for the operator's responsibility to keep things safe, and then this idea of primary assumption of risk. Like, when you choose to do something risky, how much of that risk are you accepting just by participating?
And to do all that, we've got a few things to work with here. We've got our usual notes on how to make these deep dives work for you, a pretty thorough analysis that really breaks down the Grothier case, and then a standard case brief that gives us the legal nuts and bolts. So let's set the scene here. What happened in this case that brought it to court in the first place?
Picture this. Beautiful California wine country. Erica Grothier, a 78-year-old tourist visiting all the way from Germany. She booked a hot air balloon ride with Escape Adventures, Inc. Now, something to keep in mind is that Mrs. Grothier didn't speak English. During the landing, the basket, you know, the part you ride in, hit a fence. Ouch! And unfortunately, she ended up with a fractured leg.
And just to fill in the blanks here, the balloon was being piloted by a guy named Peter Gallagher, who was working for Escape Adventures. They took off from Wilson Creek Vineyards. So all three of those, the company, the pilot, and the vineyard, they all get named in the lawsuit that Mrs. Grothier files.
Right. So she sues Escape Adventures, Gallagher, and Wilson Creek Vineyards for negligence. Now, the defendants, they make some pretty strong arguments. They point to that liability waiver, you know, the one she signed before taking off. They also say, look, this is hot air ballooning, getting jostled around. It's just part of the deal.
And initially, the trial court agreed with them. They issued a summary judgment in favor of Escape Adventures, Gallagher, and Wilson Creek Vineyards, essentially saying, there's no need for a trial here. The defendants are not liable. But Mrs. Grothier, she wasn't giving up.
No, she appealed the decision to the California Court of Appeal. That appeal brought up some fascinating legal questions that we're going to get into. Let's start with this idea of a common carrier.
Right, common carrier. Now, in California and in much of the U.S. legal system, certain businesses, like those that transport people, think bus companies, train lines, they're labeled as common carriers. What does that mean legally, and why is it so important?
A common carrier, because they're in the business of transporting people, has a much higher responsibility to keep those people safe compared to regular businesses. It's called a heightened duty of care. Passengers are essentially trusting the common carrier with their safety, relying on them to get from point A to point B unharmed.
Makes sense. When you step on a bus, you're putting a lot of faith in the driver and the company to operate safely. So in Grothier, the question becomes, does a hot air balloon company fit into that common carrier category? Are they like a bus company or a train line?
And the court said, nope, not at all. And the reason comes down to control, or rather, the lack of it. A bus driver, a train conductor, they can steer. They have control over where the vehicle goes. But a hot air balloon, it's kind of like a leaf in the wind. Sure, the pilot can control how high or low they go with the burner, but they can't just decide to make a hard left or right.
So going up and down, that's fine. But where the balloon goes horizontally, side to side, that's more up to the wind, not the pilot. It's not like steering a car.
Right, and the court even used that analogy. They pointed out that Gallagher, the pilot, couldn't just swerve to dodge that fence in the way a bus driver could steer around an obstacle. That lack of control was the big reason they said Escape Adventures wasn't a common carrier. So the takeaway here is that the level of control a business has over its service really does make a difference in terms of legal responsibility.
Got it. So if hot air balloon companies aren't considered common carriers, then what? What's the level of care they're expected to provide?
They're held to the standard duty of ordinary negligence. This means they have to act reasonably and avoid doing things that would put their passengers at risk. But it's not that heightened duty of care that common carriers have. And this brings us to another important idea, the primary assumption of risk.
Right, primary assumption of risk. I feel like I've heard this before, but just to be sure, can you break it down? It sounds like if you do something risky, you're accepting some level of danger just by participating.
You got it. The primary assumption of risk says that when you do something inherently risky, you're acknowledging those risks. If you get hurt because of one of those inherent risks, you can't sue for negligence. The logic is, some things just are risky, and holding operators liable for every bump and bruise would make those activities impossible to offer.
Okay, so in this case, the court had to consider whether a rough landing, potentially even a crash landing, was one of those inherent risks that come with hot air ballooning. Like, is that something Ms. Greether accepted when she booked the flight?
And the court said, yes, absolutely. They compared it to other activities, like skiing. Everyone knows you could fall while skiing, right? But that doesn't mean the ski resort is automatically negligent every time someone takes a tumble. The court essentially ruled that even if the pilot messes up the landing a bit, the very possibility of a rough landing, even a crash, is just part of hot air ballooning.
Interesting. So it seems like this primary assumption of risk idea offers some protection for these companies that offer inherently risky activities. But there has to be a limit, right? It can't be a get-out-of-jail-free card for recklessness.
Oh, definitely not. Here's the nuance. Even though this doctrine protects operators from being sued for the inherent risks, it doesn't mean they can throw caution to the wind. They still have to take reasonable steps to make the activity as safe as possible without changing its fundamental nature.
And the court actually gave a specific example of what that could look like in the context of a hot air balloon ride.
Yes, they specifically highlighted the duty to provide safety instructions to passengers. This leads us to the next big question. Did Escape Adventures have a duty to make sure Mrs. Grothier understood the safety instructions, especially considering she didn't speak English?
Seems pretty crucial for everyone's safety. So what did the court say about that?
The court agreed. They said, yes, giving clear safety instructions is a reasonable step to keep everyone safe during a hot air balloon ride. However, and this is where things get even more interesting, the legal analysis took another turn, focusing on this idea of proximate cause.
Proximate cause. That's all about making that direct link between someone's actions and the harm that resulted. It's not enough to show someone messed up. You have to show that their mess up directly caused the injury.
Precisely. So even if Escape Adventures had a duty to give those safety instructions, and even if they messed that up, maybe by not properly communicating with someone who did speak English, the big question becomes, was that failure the direct cause of Ms. Grothier's fractured leg?
And what did the court decide? Did they find that the missing or unclear instructions were what caused her injury?
No, they actually didn't. The court said the main culprit here was the crash itself, the force of that basket hitting the fence. They argued that even if Mrs. Grothier had understood the instructions perfectly, there's a good chance she still would have been hurt in a crash that violent. The crash itself was the most immediate and impactful cause of the injury. Imagine, you know, a hurricane knocks a tree onto your car. Would you sue someone for not telling you to park in a different spot? Probably not, because of the hurricane, that's the real cause.
Right, that makes sense. And that also brings us back to that distinction between primary and secondary assumption of risk, something we touched on earlier. Mm-hmm. The whole Grothier case really revolves around this primary assumption of risk.
You're right, because secondary assumption of risk, that's when the passenger, you know, maybe does something careless that contributes to their injury. In that case, maybe they share some of the blame, and that leads to comparative negligence. But in Grothier, the focus was on whether the inherent risk of a rough landing was the main thing that led to the injury, regardless of anything Mrs. Grothier did.
So the court wasn't trying to decide if Mr. Grew was at fault. They were looking at whether the inherent risks of hot air ballooning, specifically a hard landing, were the main reason she got hurt.
Exactly. They were asking, was this just one of those things that can happen, even when everyone's doing their best? And this kind of legal reasoning goes beyond just hot air balloons. It shows how courts try to strike a balance, protecting people, while also recognizing that some activities just have risks baked in.
Absolutely. And the court actually addressed those wider implications. They talked about how important it is to protect recreational businesses. If companies could be sued for any injury that happens, even if it's just from those unavoidable risks, it could shut down entire industries. But as we've been discussing, this protection isn't a free pass. Companies still have to take reasonable precautions, right?
For sure. They can't eliminate every risk. Mm-hmm. Like in this case, a bumpy landing. That's always going to be a possibility in a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
But they can't be negligent. Things like safety briefings, those are important.
All right. So for anyone who's fascinated by how the law works, this case lays out some key legal principles.
Yeah, absolutely. If there are any law students out there, what are some things they should remember from Grothier?
Yeah. What are the big takeaways here?
Number one, common carriers. They're different. They have a higher level of responsibility, and that's because they have so much more control over the situation compared to something like a hot air balloon ride. Remember, the court said the balloon can't really be steered in the same way as a bus or a train.
That can't steer argument, that's really crucial here.
For sure. The second thing to remember is how this primary assumption of risk idea works. If you do something like skydiving, rock climbing, hot air ballooning, you're accepting that there are risks involved, and you generally can't sue just because you get hurt. But, and this is important, the companies still have to do what they can to minimize those risks. They can't just be reckless.
Right. And the third point is all about cause and effect. Even if a company messes up, even if they don't do everything perfectly, you have to show that their mistake was what caused the injury. In Grothier, the court said the crash itself was the biggest factor.
Exactly. So the court's thinking was twofold. First, Escape Adventures wasn't a common carrier, so the bar for proving negligence wasn't as high. And second, even if there were issues with those safety instructions, the crash itself was so severe that it was hard to say those instructions would have changed the outcome.
So just to recap, what did the court ultimately decide in Grothier v. Escape Adventures?
They said hot air balloon companies, they're not common carriers. They said rough landings, even crashes, are one of those unavoidable risks that come with hot air ballooning. And that means this idea of primary assumption of risk, that applies here. But, and this is a big but, they also said those companies still have a duty to take reasonable steps to keep things safe.
Right. So things like clear instructions, those are important. But in this case, even if those instructions weren't perfect, the crash itself was the main reason Ms. Grothier was injured.
Now, here's something for you to ponder. What if Ms. Grothier had understood English perfectly, and good safety instructions could have made a difference? Imagine a less violent landing. How might the case have played out differently? It makes you think about all kinds of things. What other activities fall under this primary assumption of risk? What are the boundaries there? And, you know, ultimately, how much responsibility do you take on when you choose to do something risky?
Some great points to think about. For anyone who wants to dig into this case themselves, the citation is 14cal.app.5, 1283, 2017. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.